KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, it's partly cloudy and 21 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy today, more partly cloudy toward this afternoon, a high near 40. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Behrens of Stifel Investments. Two people were arrested following a traffic stop Thursday afternoon in Adams County. Authorities say deputies pulled over a vehicle for speeding a little after 4 p.m. During their initial investigation, the canine Baxo was deployed, and during a free air search around the vehicle, alerted to the odor of narcotics. A further investigation resulted in the driver, 30-year-old Kyle Wayne Pack of Red Oak, being arrested for driving under suspension, interlock device required, and possession of a controlled substance. His passenger, 28-year-old Courtney Lane Sanson of Nottoway, was arrested for permitting an unauthorized person to drive in possession of a controlled substance. Pack and Sanson were being held in the Adams County Jail. The Audubon County Board of Supervisors earlier this week approved $200,000 in future TIF or tax increment financing funds to be used for the T-Bone Trail maintenance and resurfacing. Their action on Tuesday allows the Audubon County Conservation Board to obtain matching funds. Officials say while the trail in Audubon County is currently in good shape, the funds will help keep it from falling into disrepair. The 21-mile-long T-Bone Trail mostly parallels Highway 71 and extends from the city of Audubon southward into Cass County. Well, the Government Oversight Committee in the Iowa House will meet March 16th to hear from the state agency director Governor Reynolds has put in charge of changes at the state-run Glenwood Resource Center. Department of Human Services Director Kelly Garcia started the job November 1st, and 21 days later, the U.S. Department of Justice announced that it was investigating allegations of the disabled patients at Glenwood were being mistreated and being subject to human experiments. House Speaker Pat Grassley, a Republican from New Hartford, says enough information has been made public that the committee can have a productive meeting without jeopardizing any investigation.
We weren't just going to hold a meeting to say we held a meeting.
Grassley credits the DHS director for meeting with the families or guardians of the patients at Glenwood, as well as staff, and for notifying key legislators of changes she's making at that facility. Grassley says next month's hearing will give Garcia a chance to address a larger audience.
One individual hasn't had the opportunity to sit down with every single legislator to show the reaction that's happened.
Earlier this week, Republicans and Democrats in the Iowa Senate unanimously confirmed Garcia to serve as director of the Department of Human Services. Well, the year 2019 stands out for record precipitation and record flooding across Iowa and much of the region, according to Doug Cluck, the Central Region Climate Services Director of the National Weather Service Office in Kansas City.
Across the Midwest and to some degree the Missouri Basin, first of all, the Midwest have never seen a wetter year. In fact, they've never seen a wetter year by far.
Parts of Iowa saw more rainfall last year than ever before, as well as flooding that surpassed all previous recorded high water marks. The wet soil meant many Iowa farmers faced extreme difficulty with spring planting as well as the fall harvest. While there are predictions of a repeat in 2020, Cluck says he does not expect to see that mix of weather conditions again.
Just off the cuff, I would say the likelihood of that happening again is very, very low. To get close to that record or exceed it, for sure. But even if it is above normal, which is a whole bunch of other years, by the way, we're going to have severe problems.
He says the patterns that are developing show we're clearly moving toward more precipitation and storm events.
The trend overall has been to be, on an annual basis, wetter than what we've had in the past. That is the trend. Doesn't mean we can't go into drought, but the trend line is definitely on an upward slope, if you will. That's pretty obvious from the data that we collect.
And the first flood outlooks for the region that were released earlier this month predicted major flooding is likely in most of the region's river basins, including the Mississippi and the Missouri. In local news, no one was injured during what could best be described as a chain reaction accident Thursday morning here in Atlantic. The accident in front of the Heritage House at 1200 Brookridge Circle was reported just before 9 a.m. Atlantic Police Officer Caleb Smith told KJAN News the incident began with a female driver of a Buick LeSabre attempted to park in a handicapped spot in front of the Heritage House.
When she came up to the spot, she said that she went to push on the brake, and she thought that her brakes went out. Through investigation, it appears that she hit the accelerator. She went forward in between the building and some signs. She tried to come back onto the road, and when she did that, she struck one of the handicap signs and then also struck two other vehicles that were legally parked, and then came to a stop shortly after striking those vehicles.
The airbag on her vehicle did deploy during the incident. The name of the woman and the registered owners of the other vehicles were not immediately available. And the Trevor Frederickson Memorial Fund has announced they're excited to bring back Sean O'Brien again this spring and put on a baseball pitching clinic for 4th through 7th graders. That'll be held each Sunday through March 29th. The clinics will be taking place. Baseball and Trevor go hand in hand, according to Melanie Petty, who is the project, who is the foundation spokesperson and Trevor's mom. She says, "I absolutely can't think of one without connecting it to the other. Working with Sean is a great opportunity," Petty says, "for these boys, and we're happy that he's willing to come back to his hometown and work with these kids that have an interest in pitching." Also, Petty says they're thankful to be able to do these things for our community in Trevor's name, and it's all because of the support we receive from our community, family, and friends. Reminder, the 12th annual T. Fred Memorial Golf Tournament will be held this August the 8th at Nishna Hills Golf Course, and all monies raised are given back to the things that were important to Trevor. So far, Petty says they've been blessed to give back over $200,000. You can follow them through on air here at KJAN as they announce things for that prior to that event and also on their social media pages. Taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning, Jason Dean Geisinger, age 37, of DeSoto, died February 17th in Lakewood, Colorado. Funeral services for Jason Geisinger will be today at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Betty Lou Christensen, age 90, of Audubon, died February 22nd at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Betty Lou Christensen will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Brayton Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Richard Keith Rainey, age 90, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. Graveside services for Richard Rainey will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the Atlantic Cemetery. A celebration of life service for Richard Rainey will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Zachary Russell, age 26, who's formerly of Guthrie Center, died February 13th. Funeral services for Zachary Russell will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Kim Ferry, age 68, of Earl died Sunday in an accident near Winterset. Celebration of life services for Kim Ferry will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the Earlham Community Building. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. Esther Messerschmidt, age 92, of Avoca, died Sunday. A mass of Christian burial for Esther Messerschmidt will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Church in Neola. The Hoy Kilnoski Funeral Home of Council Bluffs has arrangements. Marianne Brandt, age 85, of Manning and formerly of Manila, died Tuesday. A mass of Christian burial for Marianne Brandt will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home of Manila has arrangements. Sherry Lynn Shoemaker Peterson, age 71, of Casey, died February 22nd. A graveside memorial service for Sherry Lynn Peterson will be tomorrow at 11:30 at the Dalmanutha Cemetery in rural Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home has the arrangements. Lowell Harper, age 88, of Harlan, died February 17th. Memorial services for Lowell Harper will be Monday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Craig Cooper, age 68, of Stewart, died Wednesday. A gathering of family and friends for Craig Allen Cooper will be on Monday from 6 until 8 p.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Dorothy Eggers, age 90, of Omaha, died Wednesday at the Parsons House. Funeral services for Dorothy Ann Eggers will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca, with Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Avoca in charge of arrangements. Winona Huffman, age 92, of Audubon, died February 20th. Funeral services for Winona Huffman will be Tuesday at 2 o'clock at Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. And Melvin Burnett, age 95, of Greenfield and formerly of Keokuk, died Sunday. Services for Melvin Burnett will be held at a later date. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call today at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.